This is Ozarks at Large. The process of watching a movie at the theater is fairly simple. Buy your ticket, select your snack of choice, sit in a seat, and enjoy the story as it plays out before you on the big screen. Making a movie is anything but simple.
All right, everybody, quiet on the set. We're going to go ahead and roll this with one of our cameras. This is so complicated, we're just going to shoot everything. All right? Quiet on the set. Roll sound.
Rolling.
Roll camera.
Scene 16A, take one, speed.
You can't speed, it's Mark.
Clear, be set. And action!
In September, the crew and cast of Gordon Family Tree were hard at work filming throughout Northwest Arkansas. On this overcast September day, the filming location is a home that's tucked away among the trees on West Pratt Drive in Fayetteville. Although it's located just a few minutes west of the hustle and bustle of the University of Arkansas campus, this home, which looks like an overgrown treehouse, feels like it's in the middle of the woods. Today, the owners have graciously given their home to the cast and crew of Gordon Family Tree, a project of Jenica and Ryan Schwartzman.
Jenica and I wrote it, and I grew up here, and my dad built this house. My dad's a builder here. He's a contractor building just custom homes, and which is one of the characters, is one of the main characters is based on him, a person in Arkansas who builds homes that the community knows and embraces. So we're using a lot of the homes that he built.
Ryan plays the lead in the film, which tells the story of a man who quits his job at an architecture firm and goes on a road trip he never took in college to really think about his future. One of the first things you notice being on a movie set is how many people there are. Between cast and crew, there are people everywhere working on hair, makeup, lighting, and cameras. With so many people working on such a large project, delegation is key.
Delegation's a big one, as well as making sure everyone just does their job, which is a big part of Mike Hill is our first AD, and his job on set as the first assistant director is to really make sure everyone is doing their job and their job alone. So making sure that the actors aren't moving equipment and making sure that the costume person isn't, you know, moving things, making sure that crew aren't moving props, because a lot of times when you're shooting in a location, you see just an empty cup or a couple flowers or a pillow even, and people just come up and think, oh, well, I should move this out of the way, but it's set there specifically for a reason.
For people that are new to a movie set, Ryan says one of the things they may notice is the use of some unique terminology.
There's a lot of odd things where things have different names that don't need different names, like an extension cord is called a stinger. There's just odd terminology. A lot of times they use, like you'll see, there's clothespins on the lights that hold the gels and filters, and those are called C-47s. I can't tell you why, but it's what it is. And if someone is stepped away and they've gone to the restroom, then a lot of times they'll say, okay, where is so-and-so? And instead of saying they're in the bathroom and they're in the restroom, you say they're 10-1.
After spending just a little bit of time on set, it's easy to see that there is so much planning that must go into the project before filming can even begin. Ryan says some of the biggest details to attend to are scheduling and eating.
Food is a huge one that a lot of people forget about, just because you're, you know, everybody needs to eat and you're thinking about, oh, we got to get all the equipment, we got to get the actors, but you have to feed people. I mean, just to keep them happy, to keep energy there. So fortunately, we've got that took a lot of doing that Jenica did. Getting local restaurants have sponsored all of our meals, which has been amazing to get them on board and donating their food for our meals. And getting extras is a big thing. People who are willing to come out for free and, you know, give their time and energy and be high energy and And then there's other little things, like when you're on set, you have to print stuff, but you don't always have a printer. So we now have to carry a printer, and we have to carry like a little like a portable internet thing so we can upload things. And there's a lot of little things that we keep learning, as well as, you know, remembering we need to do.
Yes, it's true. Different shoots may require different things, but what is a typical day on set like?
A typical day is generally at least a 12-hour day. For example, this morning, the crew was called on set, so everyone had to be here at 8 a.m., so they have to, you know, account for their travel here. And then we always have 6 hours, and then there's lunch. So you have 6 hours, so you get here and you have to start working right away, 6 hours and lunch, and then you also account for 6 hours after that is dinner. So it's very different from a lot of jobs where, like you said, 9 to 5, you show up, you take a lunch break, and then you go home. But here it's, you show up and you don't think about food. Someone else's job, like ours, to make sure you're fed lunch and then you're fed dinner. And then after dinner, you usually work for maybe an hour or two, and then you'll go home. And there are rules and regulations for union jobs, but we're trying to abide by those as much as possible, just because they're in place for a reason. At the end of the day, there's what they call a 10-hour turnaround, meaning that when the entire crew gets wrapped or gets to where they're staying, there needs to be 10 hours between that time and when they are called to set. So that, a lot of times, is another scheduling thing we have to deal with, where we can say, okay, tomorrow we're going to start at 8 a.m., but if the night before we don't get home until midnight, then we have to start later the next day.
Helping keep track of the time is a job of the first assistant director, who is known as the AD for short. Ryan explains that the time allotted to shoot a scene is based on the length of a scene or a fraction of a page.
We get a call sheet every day saying this is what time and this is what we're starting with, and then we're starting with scene 22 and then going to scene 41, and each one is broken up into an eighth of a page. So this is 1/8 page, this is one page, and you kind of work it out to figure out about 5 pages a day is a lot to shoot. So you can base it on how much dialogue there is, and so there's a lot of thought and energy that goes into that. But on set, the first AD's job, and Mike Hill has been amazing to us, because he is just, talking to him, it's just like numbers are flying in his head that I don't understand. Because we'll say, okay, the director will decide how many shots he wants for each scene, and then the director will say, or Mike Hill will say, okay, if you have that many shots, that means you need to move you have this many setups, you need to move the camera every 8 minutes. And he's on top of it. He's got his watch, and he looks, and then he'll go and say, okay, well, you're behind schedule, so now in order to catch up, you need to move the camera. To get everything else, you need to move it every 5 minutes. So his job on set is, unfortunately, a lot of times the first AD's job is to not be liked. But he's a great guy. We all love him. He's great, but you have to be okay to be forceful and tell people, this is what has to happen. You need to move. You need to, because he's watching the time.
Okay. All right, everybody, now have your attention, please. This is scene 16. We need you to take good, careful stock of where you are right now in scene 16, because things are about to get a little complicated. What we're going to have in here is a toast going on by Mr. Gordon. So naturally, we would all turn to face him. So even if you're facing
the 80s job can also involve giving directions to the actors on set. Today, Mike Hill is directing more than a dozen extras who are filling the kitchen and living room in preparation of filming a birthday party scene. Tucked away in a narrow hallway near the front door, Nicole McAleese is sitting in front of a screen with a binder in her lap. I'm later told this area is called Video Village and is where the director and some other crew members like Nicole, the script supervisor, will huddle around the screen and observe as scenes are filmed.
My job is to make sure that we can cut the scenes together and that the editor has an appropriate guidance system of how to find which scenes he wants next. Otherwise, you can hand him a roll of stuff, but it's all a mystery. So my job is to make sure that he can do his job.
Excellent. So how do you do that? Like, what you take? Is there a certain way to take notes or something?
Yeah. I take down the camera roll, and I take down what the slate has, and I also write down notes, like, and I also make sure, like, the hair is the same. if you cut back and forth between two people talking and, like, bangs are on one side and bangs are on the other side, that's kind of a problem. I also help keep track of what we're shooting today and what needs to be shot.
What are you doing over there, Justin? That kind of looks good.
The phrase "hurry up and wait" is sometimes used to refer to the film industry because cast and crew rush to be ready and then have to wait on someone else to finish their job in order to proceed. For example, before the extras could be ushered into the room, they had to wait while a crew set up lighting. As Nicole sits by the monitor, several men in black shirts and jeans come check the screen before going back and making more adjustments to their lights. Part of their challenge today is making it appear like night, even though it is afternoon, albeit an overcast one. Nicole's brother-in-law, Ian, is one of the crew members moving light fixtures and placing different colored sheets on plastic over the tops of light bulbs.
I'm the gaffer, so the DP, the director of photography, is my boss, so he is in final call, final say of what everything looks for, but my job is to understand what light's going to do, and if he says, I want there to be a light in the background and have it slash down on this general area, I know what things to put in front of the light to shape it in order for it to do that.
Of course, before the actors can come onto set, they must be dressed, both the actors and the set. Darlene Hampson, Jenica's mother, spends most of the afternoon walking briskly back and forth despite wearing a large black medical boot. She says it's a prop that came in handy after spraining her ankle on set. She has several jobs and is in charge of wardrobe, props, and set dressing.
Set dressing is mainly what I do, and that's simply make the set ready for, so whatever color scheme we're using, or like turning the rolling pin to Mag's diner and making all the things that Mag's would need to go with her character, like her name tags and her apron and all the things that give her distinction, and turn that particular restaurant into the restaurant that we're talking about that would be on the side of the road in Flagstaff, Arizona.
In addition to all of the tangible items, patience is a must on a movie set, especially because a director may have actors recite their lines again.
As we get this party started, I'd like to say a quick little something.
And again.
As we get this party started, I'd like to say a quick little something.
And again.
As we get this party started, I'd like to say a quick something. Some of you may have heard this a time or two, but
in order to film a scene just the way he wants. Once the director does get what he wants and filming wraps on a project, writer and producer Ryan Schwartzman says the filmmaking process is not yet finished. The next step is all of the editing that happens in post-production.
Fortunately, our director really does a lot of the editing himself, which I think makes things go very smoothly because he sees what we're shooting. He has a visual idea of what he wants. So we are giving up probably 95% of control of editing to him, and then we will visit it throughout the process and look at it and watch, and if there's something that really jumps out at it that bothers us, then we'll let him know we want to tweak that. But for the most part, like I said, he's got about 95% or more control of, at that point, it's his movie. And that happens a lot with the writer, is you write it and then you have to let go, because the director will a lot of times do rewrites, just something that he thinks will work better, and that's, you just have to be okay with it and trust that we hired a director who has the same vision as we do.
Filming has wrapped, but you can keep up with the movie's post-production progress at GordonFamilyTreeTheMovie.com.
And all that we have, and all that we've been given. May all your todays be blessed.
Yes.
Cut. Got it. All right, cut. Perfect. Okay, we're going again.
From the time their son was three, John Schwartz, a national correspondent from the New York Times, and his wife, Jean Mixon, suspected their son was gay. Even though they supported him as he faced difficulties in school fitting in, as a teen, he attempted suicide. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with them about their memoir, Oddly Normal. Join us.
Fresh Air, tonight beginning at 6 here on KUAF 91.3 FM.